to Field Notes, a production of the Prince William Sound Science Center.
So today I'm here sitting with Paul Hirschberger, and he's going to tell us about his work that he does with the Herring Research and Monitoring Program. Paul, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us where you work and what you do there?
Well, I'm Paul Hirschberger, and I'm the station leader and the lead scientist at the U.S. Geological Survey's Merrill-Stowe Marine Field Station in Washington State.
So set the scene for us a little bit. Tell us about the Herring Research Monitoring Program that you're a part of.
Well, it's a large program run out of Cordova, actually, and a large part of it is at the Science Center. And it's interested in trying to understand the factors that are, first of all, cause the decline of herring in Prince William Sound, but more importantly are the causes for the failed recovery of herring in Prince William Sound. And my small component of the project really is looking at the effects of pathogens and diseases, possibly as contributing factors that prevent the recovery.
What kind of information are you generating with your work?
Every year we collect field samples of herring from Prince William Sound, looking at the levels and intensities of different pathogens. So in particular, we have three different pathogens we're primarily concerned with, a couple of viruses and a parasite. So we get annual prevalences and intensities of each of those. In addition to that, we do quite a bit of laboratory work at our facility in Washington State, where we're interested in understanding sort of the basic mechanisms of these diseases.
So what diseases are we looking at?
The one virus is called viral hemorrhagic septicemia virus. Another is called erythrocytic necrosis virus, and there's a parasite called Ichthyophonus hoferi.
What do these diseases do to the fish?
Well, they can kill the fish for sure in extreme cases. We do see periodic epizootics, which is essentially an epidemic in wild fish. But more commonly, we see chronic effects where we'll see decreased swimming performance and other factors that may predispose those infected fish to predation.
So what are your sampling methods?
Well, we hook up with the Prince William Sound Science Center and also Alaska Fish and Game to collect fish from purse seines and other nets in Prince William Sound. And those are to collect our field samples every year. Then once we have those samples, we bring them back to the lab and we do some basic virology and basic parasitology techniques to cultivate the pathogens to enumerate them.
So what are the questions that we're answering with this kind of data?
Well, we're really interested in understanding, you know, what sort of effects are these things having on herring populations, both direct effects and indirect effects. And once we establish those effects, the big question now is how do we forecast those effects before they happen? And if we can forecast them, how can we possibly mitigate the effects before they actually occur?
What does your lab work look like?
Along the same veins, right now we've just developed a forecasting tool that we think is going to be capable of forecasting the potential for VHS epizootics in wild herring. Now, fish go through a rather acute disease epizootic after they've been exposed. So after the first 2 or 3 weeks, we get 70 to 80% mortality in the laboratory. But what we've recently determined, and it's going on now, is that those survivors of that particular disease, after they've gone through the acute mortality, those fish continue to shed low amounts of virus for months. In fact, we're 6 months into an experiment now, and those fish that have recovered are still shedding infectious levels of virus, and we're able to get that virus into other fish that are essentially sentinels that are sharing the same water from those survivors. So 6 months after surviving the exposure, they're still carrying the virus and it's still infectious.
Is that abnormal?
I wouldn't say it's unprecedented, but it's very unusual for a virus to maintain an infectious state in a host for that long.
Do you think that could have serious ramifications on why the population hasn't bounced back?
I think it's a mechanism that explains sort of what leads us up to these epizootics. So we've got these carrier fish that are sort of always infected, and probably a pretty small percentage of the population that are these carriers. And then when conditions shift, say there's a temperature shift or the fish go into an embayment or a fjord somewhere with limited water exchange, the environmental conditions shift in favor of the virus now. And if there's a little bit of virus being shed with a lot of fish and very little water circulation, now we have a situation that could predispose that group to another epizootic, especially if there's susceptibles in the embayment as well.
What does the future look like for this work?
We're working on a parasite as well called Ichthyophonus, and it's probably the most significant parasite of wild marine fish in the world. And I say that because there's precedented examples of large fish kills that occur repeatedly with this particular pathogen for the last century. And herring seem to be particularly susceptible to it. But what we don't understand in herring is a very basic concept, and that is, how are the herring becoming infected? And I think that's really what our next 5 years is going to be looking towards, is establishing the mechanism by which these fish are becoming infected. And we suspect that there's probably an intermediate host involved. So we suspect that the parasite may pass through some sort of a zooplankton before it goes into herring.
Who's funding this research?
This particular work's funded by the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council. And secondarily, we get a little bit of money from the U.S. Geological Survey as well.
Well, thanks for giving me some of your time today, Paul.
All right, thank you.
You have been listening to Field Notes, a production by the Prince William Sound Science Center. To learn more or to support this program, visit us on the web at pwssc.org.